Earlier this month, I took a trip to London Zoo. It wasn't purely for fun. I was there to meet some of the team at ZSL London Zoo, who are responsible for protecting and conserving species that are critically endangered in the wild. It's a vital part of ZSL's work, but as I discovered when I started my visit in the Tropical Bird House, it's not quite as simple as just sticking some animals together and letting nature take its course. There's quite a lot of genetics to take into account too.
Well, I'm Laura Gardner, curator of birds here at ZSL London Zoo, and we're standing in the middle of the Blackburn Pavilion, which is the Tropical Bird House at London. And sitting right in front of us is one of our five blue-crowned laughing thrush. And this is a critically endangered Chinese passerine, endemic to China. And the total numbers of this bird in the wild are fewer than 320, so really critically endangered. And the captive population in zoos across North America, Europe and Asia are collaborating to actually secure an insurance population should anything happen to that remnant population back in China. So we have 269 birds within the zoo population.
On a genetic level, how do you manage that population? How do you work out who's who and who's allowed to breed with who to make sure that that population continues?
Well, it's a bit like online dating. It's matchmaking with science thrown in. So we look at the genetics and the demographics of the species in order to manage that species long term.
What are the risks of this captive population not being maintained, of becoming inbred?
Well, essentially, if the species becomes too inbred, it then won't be a viable breeding population, and ultimately that will disappear, which will, I think, be really, really sad. We don't know how secure the birds are left in the wild. We know where the birds go to breed every year, and those areas are protected by the Forestry Bureau, but the birds disperse at the end of August every year, and we just don't know where they go. So potentially, they could all colonise over winter in the same areas. That area then becomes urbanised, developed, we lose that habitat, and potentially all of the species upon which that habitat depends, and everything will be gone. So this insurance population is vitally important.
You said there are five female birds here. From my knowledge of biology, females don't tend to make more birds on their own. Where are the boys?
Absolutely. And this is an important part. We've actually had to get quite clever with how we manage our captive populations. And a lot of it is the mean kinship of a population. That is to say, how related any one of these individual birds is to the others within the zoo population. And you can get several pairs that are very prolific and well represented, so their lineage is well represented within that population. But if they produce too many chicks and other pairs aren't breeding so successfully, you end up with a glut of birds that are actually closely related. So what this group here represents is a closely related group of female birds, and we just don't have at this point in time suitable unrelated males to pair with them. So we've got breeding recommendations to the birds, or for the zoos that hold the pairs of birds that have underrepresented lineages. And once those birds reproduce, we will then hopefully have some males. These females will then go and join these males at other zoological collections for captive breeding. And that's what makes your population sustainable.
What is the future for these birds? What's the long-term plan?
The long-term plan is a combination. It's a very collaborative response. This is a globally managed population, and there's, I think, 16 species which are currently globally managed. So the idea of the global species management plans are to bring all of the regional populations managed under one umbrella, which makes sure that there's more viable long-term population management. It also includes things like husbandry, welfare, looking at veterinary issues as well, all of which will not only impact upon the captive population within our zoos, but it will also have significant implications for the wild population. Things like disease surveillance, managing parasites, all of the things that could impact upon the wild population.
You've described a huge amount of human effort that's going on to understand these populations, to work out their genetics, to keep them going and make them sustainable. But what about human efforts that aren't helping with conservation?
Absolutely. I think we're at this point with many of our threatened species because of the behaviours of people, and how we impact upon the environment has a direct consequence for the species that depend upon that environment. So things like land use changes, urbanisation, the building of roads and infrastructure that supports expanding human populations quite often will have a very negative and detrimental impact upon the species that normally will live within that habitat. There are also more direct human behaviours, such as illegal wildlife trade. And that's a real focus for ZSL at the moment, and many zoological collections are working collaboratively with conservation organisations and other partners out in these areas, particularly across Asia, where you've got the illegal songbird trade, or the songbird trade and the illegal wildlife trade, both of which significantly impact upon these Asian songbird populations.
It was just like being in the rainforest. That was Laura Gardner and her blue-crowned laughing thrushes.